Rising from the ashes of censorship, it's Alex Jones.
All of us together are going to lift the curse off of this country. The globalist are present.
The government fears Alex Jones.
First they come for Alex Jones, and then they're going to come for us.
And they try to bankrupt Alex Jones. They try to put Alex Jones in prison.
The demonization of Alex Jones should be of profound interest to everybody all across the board, even progressives.
Alex Jones was right.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
I don't know how long this is going to end, but if they want to fight, they better believe they've got one.
The Alex Jones Network is tomorrow's news today.
All right, some stations don't carry this first five. We got founder Oath Keeper Stuart Rhodes here. I want to hit the record flooding around the United States. We know there's geoengineering weapons. In fact, get the CIA director who needs to be indicted. Brennan just keeps popping up. Ready for the next segment, crew. But you just saw an ad for methylene blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. I've given it to over 500 people. Three of them had no effect. And I've talked to my medical doctor about it. He told me to get on 6 years ago, and I never really followed what he was saying. I tried it, but it wasn't as strong as ours. Once I tried this, I was like, it's true, folks. Ours is way stronger. It works better. But if you don't have any mitochondrial issues, it's still good for you, but you don't feel it. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened and did it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. And it just gives you mental focus. And I don't crash afterwards. So it's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. But for the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at thealexjones.com. So for me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because the same thing happened to Rob Dew. He's a great long distance, bike rider. And also has a scholarship for basketball. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like it better than doing like a 5 hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. That's why I'm almost out. I've been out there hitting it every
day. Well, you look good. Well, we're getting to search and rescue in a minute, but just, what are the long-term effects? I mean, I'm kind of fishing here, but you're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think just the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better, and Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling it as a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy.
Good stuff.
Of course, the Germans invented it.
Right. Must be bad, right?
I don't like the UN in general, but did you know they say methylene blue is the greatest drug ever discovered?
Oh, yeah?
If you look at their website, they say the 1880s, and then people go, oh, it's a Rockefeller drug. The Rockefellers in the 1910s, 20s bought up everything. So, yeah, they originally owned it, but it's not under patent now. People go, you're buying it from the Rockefellers. No, aspirin doesn't have a patent either anymore.
Right.
It's not true. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And, folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
We'll be right back.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday, the 29th, to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at thealexjonesstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only three or four of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
The front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
Talking about relationships with Stuart Rhodes here.
That's off record.
The secrets of life. Anyways, getting serious here. I want to get into the rescue efforts, and it is true. Floods come and go. It's different Pacific Ocean actions in the U.S. We have monsoon type stuff. It comes and goes. But there is geoengineering, and we had Brennan, the head of the CIA under Obama, before they left, admit they're doing it. And we have weather weapon treaties. You have all these private companies that are scaling up. So the fact is, I remember when there was flash floods like 27, 8 years ago that killed a bunch of people in South Texas. And strangely enough, the Navy came out and said, with the Air Force, we were doing weather geoengineering. We apologize. We may have contributed to these floods. So it's, and people can look that up, not just that case, but others. So they even like admit it's going on. But then when we criticize, they go, it doesn't exist. What is your take on that?
Well, right now, Rainmaker, the CEO of Rainmaker, is all over the place. He was on the War Room. He was on Glenn Beck's show, admitting that they were doing seeding in South Texas, in the Hill Country.
He was on this show.
Oh, he was on your show, too?
Well, it was Owen doing it, but yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, so like I think July 2nd or 3rd, they were doing seeding in Texas by contract. The contract's all over the internet. So it's legit. They really did it, but they're saying, well, we did seeding, but we had nothing to do with the flood.
So. And they also did it pretty close to the area. And again, I'm no meteorologist, but meteorologist says it was like a mini hurricane just popped up for like a day and just stood there.
Right. That's one of the local ranchers we were talking to when we were out there doing search and rescue described it as a hurricane, a land hurricane. They'd never seen weather like that. It just stayed right over the top of them and kept dumping water for hour after hour.
What I called it July 5th when I woke up. I said, this is a land hurricane.
Yep, that's what.
Because I watch the weather radar all the time, folks. I live here. And this is where we are. We're right by the Hill Country. And I've never seen a storm just come from nowhere. Bloop. They usually come in and then do, you know, it just bloop. It appears the day before. And then it goes mirror, 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 mirror. Looks man-made to me.
Yeah, and so when you've got someone admitting they were doing cloud seeding, but then saying, oh, we had nothing to do with it, that should be investigated.
I've never also seen a round storm like that pop and recede and pop and recede. That looks like chemicals. I mean, look at that. They don't, usually they form and dissipate or move. They don't go boom, boom, boom. See that?
Yeah.
You ever seen that, Stuart?
No, never have.
Look at the radar. It's been around for our whole lives. Have you ever seen a storm look like that?
Only in hurricanes.
And that's the hot water.
So that's why that local rancher described it as a land hurricane. He'd never seen it before either. Never seen any weather like that. It just stayed right over the top and kept dumping water on him.
And farmers and the ranchers are the guys that pay attention to the weather. They're the ones to talk to.
Yep, definitely. And that same rancher also had concrete steps leading up to his house, which is what I think there should be in every children's camp. Should be a way for them to self-rescue.
Well, yeah. I mean, these are tiny towns with one or two gas stations. And they're like, they didn't put in a $5 million emergency siren thing. Well, you go pay for it. It's the freaking...
Well, the state of Texas should pay for it. They gave Hollywood $1.5 billion to come make movies in Texas. If the locals can't afford it, you have these children's camps have been there historically for generations. They had big floods back in 87. Before that, 1978, we had kids killed. So the state of Texas can pay for it.
And the difference is there's a lot more people in Texas now.
Sure, but if you're going to run a children's camp, this is where, if you're an adult, okay, fine. You want to risk your life by sleeping in a tent next to a river in a flood zone, that's up to you. But if you're going to put kids down there and you're going to run camps making money to have children come to camp every summer.
You got a responsibility.
You have a responsibility.
It's negligence.
Right. It is.
And so, but here's the deal. They said Trump didn't issue an emergency alert because of cuts to that. They only cut out the brainwashing climate change funding. They did put out an alert, hundreds of them the day before.
Well, that's what we're hearing. In fact, the Austin Firefighter Association is criticizing their chief for not reacting.
He said, we don't have the money. They wanted to go out there.
Right. But they said in their statement, they said on July 2nd, they got an alert, an order from the state of Texas to be ready for mutual aid to go help in the hill country.
That's right. Texas nailed it a day before the National Weather Service, but more than 24 hours before, the National Weather Service said flash flood warning for those very counties.
But the question then to me is, well, then why didn't the same people who alerted the first responders be ready to do mutual aid? Why didn't they also contact the camps where the kids were and say, hey, heads up?
I agree. Well, it's following orders. I first heard this before even hit the news days after. And it turns out not just Austin, but other liberal cities, just like they stood down in Palisades, they literally said, we're not going to spend the money when the firefighters are like, we're supposed to go out there. We have mutual aid. And they go, nope, you're not going. So that's criminal negligence. I think the Austin fire chief should be arrested, not fired.
Yeah, I would agree. I think his men agree. But long term, to prevent this from happening again, I do think they need sirens. But those kids in the camp people need to have a...
Look, zoning's dangerous because it always gets abused. But there should be a policy and standard associated with insurance that... I mean, I lived out in Dripping Springs forever until I got divorced from my first wife, and she got it. But I mean, it was the headwaters of the Barton Creek, so it never went dry. It's beautiful. But the house was on a hill and on stilts. And I was like, wow, this hill's like 50 feet up. Why is the house on stilts another 20 feet? Well, once, when we lived there like 5 years, she still lives there, it the water came all the way up to the chimney and all the way up to the balcony and almost swept the house away. I was like, oh, now I get why it's here.
Yeah.
Most of the old timers that have places out there, they're up on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, I'm saying, it's a bunch of newbies that don't know. And they're just like, oh, we'll just build it right. I mean, that's just, a lot of this is just people don't understand how dangerous it is to be. You go out there, folks, it's scrub brush and mountains and hills. So you get a bunch of rain dumping, it's going up.
Yeah, that's what happens with flash floods. But those kids' camps are built right down in the floodplain next to the river.
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be. They should be sleeping on the hilltop at night.
Well, I'm saying, who did that? I mean, you're on the Guadalupe River that routinely goes up 25 feet. What are you thinking?
Well, they had FEMA reclassify that particular camp as not being a floodplain, so they could expand it and build more cabins. So that was done. So I guess someone decided they wanted to put their business ahead of the potential loss of life.
Which shows how it's all political. Floodplains should not be political. But it is.
Right. Well, I mean, so there either needs to be a rule that no kids sleep down in a floodplain, and they can sleep on top of it.
Exactly. You want to build a house on the edge of a river, you're in a floodplain, that's fine. But there needs to be a law. Kids don't sleep there.
Well, you don't have camps for kids where the kids sleep next to the river. They should be up on top, like you said, on high ground, and if necessary, on top of stilts, too.
I remember on a fishing trip when I was like 5 years old in Oklahoma, and I remember we were on the edge of a river that went out to a lake. We'd been fishing. And I remember when we got there, I said, hey, there's campsites. It was like a state park, whatever. There's campsites down there, Dad. Why don't we take those? He goes, no, it could rain. It could flood. So we stayed on top of a hill. It's just common sense. People don't know that stuff anymore.
Right. It is common sense, but like it's old school. So there should be rules that if you're going to have a camp for kids, they should have the ability to self-rescue. And I think the answer is concrete steps with steel guardrails. I gave you guys some photos of that.
People always ask, why if you see old houses out in the country or anywhere, why was the prime thing on a hill? It's not because you're up above everybody. It's because of flooding.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of these poor areas, like in Leander, we're there in Leander right now. The poor are down in the lower areas. The wealthy live up on the hilltops, and their houses are fine. But the folks who couldn't afford to live up there, they lived down in the lower areas, and they got flooded out.
Well, that's right. I bought a 127-acre ranch that I lost the bankruptcy, but the half of it was a floodplain. That's how I got a great deal, because you couldn't build on it.
Right.
Yeah, but it's good that like Texas doesn't have a regulation. They say you shouldn't build. It's not insurable. but I could build something if I wanted to.
And that's freedom. That's your choice. But if you're going to run a camp for kids, that's when the state of Texas can step in.
Well, I even thought about building like a cabin down there back when I had money, and I had contractors come out once, and they go, I said, can I? They said, I wouldn't build here anyways. He goes, they say it's a 100-year floodplain. This is every 10 years. He goes, you'd have to have like 20-foot stilts. And he said, even it comes through here so strong, and we're like way up from it, big, beautiful trees, you know, so pretty in a floodplain, big old huge cottonwoods, oak trees. And they said, yeah, you need to build up there. And I said, up on the big ugly hill, up on the top. And yeah, you don't want to build down here, buddy.
Yeah, smart man.
Well, just they were like, we're not really, we don't recommend you build a place here.
Right, because even if you had a house on stilts, you could get hit by the water so, you know, so powerfully that it takes it off the foundation.
Yeah. So the biggest thing I saw now is the Clinton Foundation's there raising money and has got their operatives now outside Austin.
Hmm. That's news to me. I hadn't seen them.
Yeah, they got Chelsea Clinton's people down there.
Doing what?
Just raising money and stealing it. You know what they always do.
Right along with the Red Cross.
Yeah. So what do you see coming out of this?
Probably a lot of dog and pony show in the legislature. They're having a special session. They're having one of their hearings is going to be in Kerrville, so the locals there will at least be able to give their input. But the politicians, I doubt they'll do much. Maybe some sirens. I don't see much else coming out of it.
I forgot to tell the crew to get to this. I didn't play this yesterday, and I dropped the ball. I'm glad you're a constitutional lawyer and a former political prisoner. You can really speak to this. And I can tell you, I've researched all this. This is all true. We now have the key federal agencies that report back on the law that 100% of what Biden signed in 2024 was not by him. They admit he didn't sign it and wasn't told. They've now interviewed them. They've now blown the whistle on themselves to hide it in plain view. They met a committee of Obama and Biden's wife and Soros representative would decide what the law, you know, what they were going to do, and then they would do the auto pen. And now we've learned junior staffers, that's the criminal investigation the DOJ told me is going on, were just selling pardons for hundreds of thousands of dollars to drug dealers and people. This is the total lawlessness. So I want to play this clip. Ted Cruz uncovers a hidden scandal that could invalidate every Biden pardon. And I like Ted Cruz on domestic stuff, horrible on war, but he didn't really uncover it. It's not about taking credit away. It's just, no, this is hiding in plain view. But now the DOJ and the congressional investigations and the auto pen, and you've been a congressional staffer as well, are raging forward. To me, this is beyond a huge deal. And what should the mechanism be then to invalidate this soft coup, not just of the election and not just the spying and not just the fake impeachments, but this to me is even bigger than Crossfire Hurricane because it's so smoking gun and cut and dry. Here it is.
Dare we lie and cover up what we all knew. The Biden administration may go down in history as the most brazen constitutional fraud in American history. A Potemkin presidency fronted by a failing puppet with staffers behind the scenes pulling the strings. This is not political hyperbole. The American people saw it with their own eyes during the June 2024 debate. Numerous times, Biden stood frozen behind the podium, mouth agape, eyes frozen and unblinking. When he did speak, his words were confused and disjointed. I said that night, this is the most consequential presidential debate in history because it will result in one of the two candidates being removed from the ballot. That was exactly right. And following that debate, the Democrats recognized the collapse. They pulled out their knives and took out President Biden like Caesar on the Ides of March. For all of their strutting about, protesting that they support democracy, not a one of them gave a damn about democracy when they pulled Biden off the ballot and dropped Kamala Harris in without a single Democrat primary voter voting for him. And you know what? Not a single Democrat is here today because not a single one of them gives a damn about the fact that they lied to the American people for 4 years. They knew. Every one of them knew that Joe Biden was mentally not competent to do the job. The White House press secretary, she knew when she stood in front of the American people and lied over and over and over again. And they're not here because they can't defend themselves. It wasn't a surprise. For 4 years, the White House hid President Biden from Republican senators. would not let him meet with us. He served 40 years in this body. We all know him. And they deliberately lied. And by the way, Jake Tapper had a bombshell book exposing the incredible scandal that Biden's mental decline was covered up by Jake Tapper. There's a Yiddish word, chutzpah. And that truly is chutzpah. How dare we lie and cover up what we all knew? Now, I have been asked literally 1,000 times by Texans, who was running the country? And I'm going to give you the most terrifying answer. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. And not a single Democrat here cares. The most telling proof of Biden's decline came with the signature of the president, the symbol of executive authority that was outsourced to a machine. Mr. Wold, you're a lawyer who served in the White House counsel's office. You understand the gravity of presidential action. Does the president's signature carry legal and constitutional weight under Article 2?
Yes.
Is the act of signing an executive order or signing a law or granting a pardon a delegable duty of the president?
So in that opinion in 2005 from OLC, they said essentially that an auto pen could be used by a subordinate, but the president's determination as to sign the document can never be delegated.
Can that authority be transferred to a staffer or a machine without the president's explicit authorization?
Never.
And if you look at the statistics are stunning. In 2021, President Biden issued 78 executive orders. None were signed with an auto pen. That first year of the presidency, Biden, I suppose, was relatively lucid, and 78 executive orders he signed by hand. The second year, however, we see the auto pen emerge. The first auto pen executive order was issued on July 15th, 2022. After that day, 100% of the executive orders issued in 2022 were signed by an auto pen. In 2023, Biden issued 24 executive orders. 16 were auto penned. In 2024, Biden issued 19. 14 were auto penned. In 2025, Biden issued 14 executive orders. Every single one was auto-penned. Mr. Wald, let me ask you as a legal matter, if there's a law that's passed both houses of Congress and it goes to the White House, and a staffer auto-pens signing that law without the president's authorization, is that law legally passed and signed into law?
No.
If an executive order is issued and a staffer auto-pens it without the president's authorization, is that executive order legally binding?
No.
And if a pardon is issued from the president of the United States and a staffer auto-pens it without the president's authorization, is that pardon legally binding?
No.
Under the Biden White House, the ceremonial song Hail to the Chief was effectively replaced with Hail to the Pen. And it was an outright assault on democracy. And every reporter covering this ought to ask, why doesn't a Democrat care? We heard about the moral responsibilities of a staffer. How about an elected senator who knows damn well that if we get into a war and Iran is preparing to fire a nuclear weapon at the United States, that the commander-in-chief is busy playing with his jello and is not competent to defend ourselves, and every member of the cabinet, the chief of staff, the press secretary, and the members of Congress who lied about this on a daily basis with the press's complicity, they are all responsible for subverting democracy.
This is a coup, treason, call it what you will, but to me, Crossfire Hurricane, all of it is cut and dry. But to me, Stuart Rose, and you're a constitutional lawyer in the whole nine yards, and a former congressional staffer to Ron Paul, what does this look like to you? I think this is a bigger scandal than Crossfire Hurricane.
Well, yeah, so you had other people running it other than the supposedly elected president. It's like multiple layers of absurdity. He was not a legitimate president in the first place. They stole the election. But then even after that, he was such an incompetent puppet that they had their staffers just go in and sign for him because he couldn't even run the pen. So, but what they'll probably say is that, well, they had authorization from the president. This is part of his delegation authority. And I can see judges backing them up on that. So I think ultimately, unless the Supreme Court wants to actually root this out, they're going to just rubber stamp it.
Man, it was even worse than we thought. I'm just stunned by it all. Trump has to understand, if they don't start indicting the deep state, people are done with him, despite the economy stuff and overall good job. People want deep state dismantled. That's the number one issue in my view. Do you agree? And
I'd start with the pardons. I would start with the illegitimate pardons of the people that committed crimes, like the J6 Select Committee, so-called, who destroyed evidence and manipulated evidence to smear not just us, but also President Trump. I think you should go after them and just declare their pardons to be null and void and prosecute them. And those can be test cases that go before the Supreme Court and then see what the Supreme Court does with that. That's where I would start.
If you had...
like Fauci, for example. Prosecute him for war crimes or crimes against humanity for mass murder. He's complicit in mass murder.
If you had obviously 2 minutes to talk to Trump, what would you say?
I'd tell him just that. Just prosecute all the ones that were auto-penned, the ones that you know are criminals, and let the chips fall where they may.
What else would you say? Look at the camera. Talk to President Trump.
I would say, President Trump, you have absolute authority and power as a commander-in-chief and president to declassify anything held as secret, top secret, above top secret, whatever the classification is. Use that power to expose the deep state. Yes, it would throw the economy into turmoil, but it needs to be done. You're not going to defeat the deep state without doing that. That's the only way to defeat them is exposure. That's the first step. And after that, then prosecutions and holding them to account. But expose them now. If you don't, then the deep state will still be there when you leave office, and we'll have to deal with them in the future. So do us the solid of doing what you can. Only you can do it. Julian Assange went to prison. Edward Snowden was threatened with prison for doing what you did because they have no authority to do that. But you have the authority to classify anything you want. Use that power. Focus on the deep state. Expose all the dirt. Expose all the corruption.
And it's a good part about Trump is he is vindictive. It's good to stand up for yourself, not to be vindictive for its sake, but you got to stand up against bad people. Trump, they got a conviction in New York. They're coming after you. It must be done.
Right, because they get back in power, they'll probably try to put him back in prison. And if no one is held to account from last time and they get through 4 years of President Trump again without being held to account, they'll just double down next time.
They'll quadruple down. It's just going to be emboldened to the power of 10.
Yeah, they'll see no downside. They'll realize the Republican Party is gutless, which they are, and they realize that President Trump was their only possible weakness and exposure, but he's now gone. They'll come back after us tenfold. So they got to be defeated now. They can't be allowed back into power. And the only way to defeat them now is exposure.
Well, you predicted they'd indict Trump. You predicted that he would win. What are you predicting now?
Well, if President Trump, he's on a crossroads. If he exposes them, and what Tulsi Gabbard just did with the Crossfire Hurricane is what she'd be done with everything.
Yeah, she's done her job and made the referral. Now they got to do their job.
So first question is, why wasn't that done in President Trump's first term? Because he had bad advisors around him.
He had pussies.
So anyone advising him not to do what Tulsi Gabbard just did with Crossfire Hurricane, anyone telling him not to do that with Epstein Files and all the rest
is an enemy.
Is an enemy, that's right.
And again, it's a no-brainer. They're attacking us. Laying down and taking it is the worst course. Attack back, God Almighty.
Absolutely.
We're attacking.
Got nothing to lose by attacking them.
They put you in prison. You're not backing down. We'll be right back. Announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants, and it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low. Wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. The limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide. Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution, you are the solution, you're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the info war is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the info war. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Administration, Tulsi Gabbard and HHS head Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are doing the best job against the deep state, really delivering on the promises. Ladies and gentlemen, this just broke. The report came out in the last hour. I just read it. I am poleaxed right now. HHS has just released a report with a study they did that hospitals, particularly the big ones around the country, will basically kill viable people that are going to survive who aren't even brain dead and will then prep them and keep them alive and tell their families they're going to die so they can then go to the organ harvesting companies and line it up to kill them and take their organs. You hear about organ harvesting in Ukraine or Gaza, it goes on. But it's going on right here. And to bring up my dad, who was a very successful entrepreneur, He owned dental offices in Dallas and in Mesquite when I grew up in Dallas. And I remember when I was about to go get my provisional driver's license when I was like 15, the hardship because I had a job, he said, son, don't sign your organ donor card. And I said, why, Dad? He said, well, I owned, as you know, he just sold it, a small hospital in Mesquite, and we didn't do any of this. But he said, I know other doctors in Dallas, and they say that they kill viable people. You have a car wreck, you're not even brain dead, you're survivable. They will not give you treatment. They'll prep you and harvest your organs. Now, I kind of rolled my eyes, but I still didn't sign the organ donor card. Now, in most states, they don't even ask you. If you don't opt to not do it, they do it. And I remember many years later, once I'd already moved to Austin, with my mom's parents, watching 60 Minutes about Chicago, Dallas, and a few other cities where they caught hospitals killing people for their organs. So this has been out for a while. But now HHS has gone in and looked at the numbers, looked at the facts, talked to the whistleblowers, and that they are killing survivable people and prepping them and lying to their families to steal their organs. They can get up to $400,000 per person. You saw that with COVID. Oh, we're overwhelmed. We can't even have heart attack patients here. The hospital's empty except the special floor where they're intubating you for $53,000 if you killed somebody. HHS finds systematic disregard for sanctity of life in organ transplant system. This is a HHS report that just came out yesterday, actually, but only hit the news today. So, breaking. HHS has released a report that hospitals are killing people for their organs and lying to their families. You've got to go read the report. It is insane. Our findings show that hospitals allow the organ procurement process to begin when patients showed signs of life. And this is horrifying. We have the famous videos of nurses going public saying the guy woke up and was fighting, and we put him down, injected him, and took his organs. And it just goes through all of it. Stuart, you just scanned this during the break. You've been a lawyer in your past life. What do you make of this?
Well, like you said, it's no surprise, given the pattern we saw with COVID. We had hospitals across the country refusing to treat people with things that work, like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, instead putting them on ventilators they knew were going to kill them. And they were doing it because they were being paid to do it. And they were covering it up and going along with mass murder, essentially, for money. And so, for their own careers, to further their own careers and cover their own rear ends. And so I'm not surprised at all that they look at us like cattle.
Well, that's a problem with nurses and doctors. A lot of them are great, but a lot of them get really cold, really removed, and we just look like sides of beef to them.
Doctors especially, yeah. They have that the mindset that they're superior and they love playing God.
Well, if you have empathy, it's really stressful to EMT and doctors, I know.
You're a sociopath, it's easy. Yeah. That's why a lot of sociopaths, I've seen studies that say that sociopaths are drawn to being like surgeons, police officers, and lawyers, of course, because they're seeking power.
And naturally, a person has empathy. It's hard. It's almost a evolutionary attribute, except if it's misused. But guys, I just scanned over the report. We already know it's all true. But nobody even asked Kennedy to do this. This is amazing, and it's a sign of the real awakening, Stuart, that's happening. I mean, this report, I read it during the break. It is insane. I'm a speed reader. I'm reading it slowly. They literally admit, and they tell families, oh, your family member's going to die. They know they're viable while they start sending the orders out to prepare for the harvesting. Remember, what was it, 6-7 years ago, the Virginia governor, who was a harvesting doctor, he goes, well, we tell the mother the baby died, and we go ahead and harvest it, and we keep them comfortable. We keep them alive while the orders come in, and about a week later, we harvest them. Keep them comfortable, though, Stuart. Guys, pull up Virginia governor. Type in Alex Jones, Joe Rogan, Virginia governor, keep them comfortable. It's a famous clip. But
yeah, right.
It's him saying it.
They're talking about infanticide, right?
But that's where they tell the poor mother, oh, your baby died. But this is exactly what my dad said. He said, listen, I know hospitals where you're in a car wreck, you're totally viable, your back's broken, they kill you. And I didn't disrespect my dad, but I'm like, he wasn't an alarmist. He said, by the way, you're going to your driver's test, you're going to probably pass today. Don't sign the organ donor card. I said, why? He goes, I know some people in the hospitals. He goes, you know that movie Coma? And we'd watch it like a few years before on VHS. He goes, that's not a movie. That's a documentary. That's in like a 1970s movie where they keep people alive for their organs.
Right.
It turns out that's what they're actually doing.
Yeah. No surprise. I'm not surprised at all.
Do you love how Hollywood throws it in our face what they're doing? Guys, pull up the trailer for the 1979, I think, movie Coma. I didn't watch it till like, you know, 87 or something with my dad. And he literally looks at me and goes, Alex, you saw Coma a few, you know, last year with me or whatever. He goes, that's not a movie. That's a documentary. He said that. Because he owned a hospital.
Right.
You know, you got McConaughey in the Dallas Buyers Club. I remember when I was a kid, doctors come over to the house and stuff. My dad at a hospital, a bunch of them were doing it. Fauci would not give people the drugs that actually, like Magic Johnson, cured him of AIDS. They would give him stuff that shut their immune system off. My dad was involved with Dallas Buyers Club. But it wasn't like he was some special hero. A bunch of them were doing it. It's just they got in trouble in Dallas because they were all doing it. It was happening all over the country. They all knew. All right, let's play the trailer for Coma, which, again, I'm 15, about to get my hardship license, and my dad says, Coma is not a movie, it's a documentary. Here it is.
Where is the patient?
Coming right down, Dr. Cohen.
You enter a major metropolitan hospital for routine surgery.
What's the matter?
I don't know. Something goes wrong.
She never woke up.
No. What if it wasn't an accident? Now, the number one best-selling mystery becomes the most thrilling suspense film of the year. Javier Bugeaud is Dr. Susan Wheeler.
Been about a dozen of these coma cases here in the last year. They're always different. Hard to imagine it's murder.
Are you sure?
Susan, what do you think? There's a conspiracy at the Boston Memorial Hospital?
I'm fine. I don't need a shrink.
But I think it's important to have on the record.
She's under stress, a little paranoid.
But she thinks there's a conspiracy.
Does she think you're involved?
Michael Douglas is Dr. Mark Bellows.
No, I don't think so.
First rule of crime.
Keep it simple.
Somebody is putting people into comas. They're murdering them.
It's a 4367. The bidding now stands at 425. A 31-year-old male.
At Boston Memorial Hospital, only one doctor can save your life. But first, she's got to save her own.
This is real, Mark.
Somebody's seen too much.
What's the matter?
I don't know what the matter is.
Somebody's gone too far. Somebody's getting away with murder.
And that's exactly what they did with COVID. All over the world, the equivalent of $53,000 to intubate you and do that and then get your organs while they did their dance videos and refuse everybody else medical care. Tyranny loves to use the medical system because we see it as helping us. It's their main attack, Stuart Rhodes.
Yeah, well, it's a pinnacle of authority in our community. And look how we got played during COVID. I didn't get played. You didn't get played. But President Trump got played and half America got played. And so not only taking bad shots, but also I know two state directors, oath keepers, died in the hospital being put on machines. And that was the end of them.
They took their organs.
Yeah.
They really killed a lot of homeless, too. So in all the world, Germany, Australia, everywhere. So global standardization by the WEF, the UN, and their treaty we've been beating. So understand, folks, it is now official. The HHS has put a report out that they're murdering people that would live, lying to their family, saying they're terminal, and then keeping them alive a few weeks so they get maximum dollars for their liver, for their kidneys, for their heart, for their lungs, for their everything. And they do it to newborn babies, too. The average woman pays $500 for an abortion. You didn't know they're getting $100,000 for that baby? It was the third trimester? If you're going to kill your baby, might as well make a little cash. I mean, this is sick, folks. They see us as animals. It's not all the hospitals. But, man, is my dad vindicated again? He said, it's not a movie, it's a documentary. And it wasn't Boston. I'm sure it was doing it in Boston, too. He told me. Then they go, no, they put you in a coma while they wait to get the organ stuff, and then they kill you. And they do it to poor people mainly because other people would be smart. And it's different. When you know, when I broke my leg and had a compound fracture when I was like 15, I went to the hospital in Rowlett, royal treatment, best surgeon, everything perfect. And my dad goes, yeah, when your dad's a physician, that's what it's like. This is all a class system. So the medical system is literally the most evil thing there is. It's a cult.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're playing God. And like you said, they treat us like cattle. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. Once again, not surprised at all.
So, hospitals across the U.S., and again, there were 60 Minutes programs 30 years ago about this, is Austin got caught killing healthy people for their organs, too, where I live, 10 years ago. And nobody gets prosecuted, Stuart.
Because the local coroner is their buddy, right? Probably. And the prosecutor's their buddy, too.
And each of us, I've seen reports of $1 million sometimes for your organs, but on average about $300,000. And you got these people that are just all part of it. And they're around death all day, so they just get used to it. So they see you like a cow or a pig, Stuart, that just got killed.
That's why I don't go to hospitals.
Yeah. But all the old-timers knew. So, well, here's an example. I'm not going to tell the whole story. Family get mad, but I had a close family member whose dad was dying of cancer last year. And the cardiologist comes in. He's a listener, and he goes, listen, they're going to bring in the oncologist the next hour. He's got cancer all over his bones, all over his lungs, all over his body. He'll live a year on steroids comfortably. He'll die at home. Get him out of here now. And he goes, but as soon as they come in, I can't tell you this. All of a sudden, the oncologist walks in right then. And I turn to his family member and I go, get your dad out of here right now. They're going to give you this whole big, and they pumped, they sucked all the money out of him, and they killed him in a week and a half.
Wow.
And the guy was like, literally like, because he had a heart attack before, so the first guy to see him was the cardiologist. He was a listener. He said, get him out now. And he said, I can't, he goes, I'll get fired. He goes, don't tell me I said this. And all of a sudden, and literally I tell her, and then 2 minutes later, in comes the oncologist. Oh, hi. Yeah. Oh, it's very operable. You're going to be fine. Lung cancer, bone cancer, just cancer everywhere. And then I walk outside the hospital, and the nurses, I'm sitting on a bench right outside the room. She's like, what are you doing here, Alex Jones? And they're all muscling up to me. And I'm like, and I was, it was a few good people left, though. But that's the human sacrifice facility. That's where people live and die, folks. 50% of the babies born in the U.S. now are cesarean. Ruins a woman. Why do they do it? It's all about control. These people are sick.
Yeah, it's a corrupt. It's as bad as our legal system. It's been corrupted.
I mean, the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. You know, 30 years ago, they got rid of that in the medical schools.
Oh, did they?
Yep, look it up. Type in like year 2000 or 25 years ago. They medical schools abandoned the Hippocratic Oath. Type it in. Hippocrates.
Yeah, the first rule is do no harm.
Yeah, right. And that's what they do.
Yeah, no surprise. Like I said, it's as bad as the legal system. It's corrupt.
But the reason my dad knew was he was like top of his class in high school. So they put him in Plan 2 at UT at 14. And his first job, he you're getting in a NASA program. And, oh, we're sitting at the MD Anderson Cancer Research Facility. And so his first job to join NASA was that. He told me a little about that. You know, I've never interviewed my dad, and he's got serious health problems right now. He could not be with us very, very soon. You know what? I think I need to go interview my dad. I think I need to get this all on record.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
You can say, see, I told you.
Yeah, he was never consciously involved in it, but he has a lot of guilt. Because he refused that project after a year. He told me he did other projects he won't tell me about. But at the heart of it, he told me, was Mad Scientist. And you see, that's what runs this now.
Well, maybe he'll come out and tell you the rest of the stories. He might.
I want to hear it.
Me too.
Who knows what's going to be?
Yeah, interview him.
Well, if killing people in cancer treatments as part of a test of students was, he would tell me, what would he not tell me? I wonder what the rest is.
Is that what he told you?
Yeah.
So the students were told to...
No, they would like, they had people that were terminal cancer patients in like high-rise buildings of this. And they would say, well, there's like a 1% chance we'll save you, sign this form. And then he's like 14, 15, and they're like, and he said the doctors were like having orgasms when they were injecting him and killing people. And he's like, what? He said his description was they would go like, they would like kill these people. He said they were missing lower mandibles. It was just like hell world. And I'm like 14 hearing this, and he's telling me all this. And then he said, well, I went out of this project. And then they put him in another project after that. And his mom just signed him up because he was at the top of his class and did all stuff for NASA. And he said, I can't tell you the rest of it.
Hmm. So is NASA doing that on purpose?
No, they just used NASA to drag in. That was Eisenhower and the WizKid program.
Right.
So they just got all the best brains and brought them in. And day one, it's Fauci stuff. You know, beagles removing their larynxes and putting flesh-eating maggots on them.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't about putting maggots on dogs. It was about, can we get our medical workers to remove the larynxes of dogs, put a bag around their head, and put flesh-eating maggots on them? My dad told me, he said, it's all about seeing what you will do to test you,
right,
to put you into other programs. So he only got to the first level and got out of it. Can you imagine what it turns into?
So looking for sociopaths.
They're looking for beyond that, yeah.
Right.
So what do you think?
Not surprised.
Well, here we are, folks. Hospitals across the country are murdering healthy people for your organs. In between putting bags of flesh-eating maggots on dogs.
Until they get their start.
That's just the start.
Right. If you do that, well, we got something better for you. Make a lot of money. You can be an oncologist, son.
Yeah, the crew's putting the Milgram experiment up here. They found like 90% or more of college students would kill somebody if they were told to by the professor.
Yeah. Got the clipboard telling you to turn the voltage up, they'll do it. And then you're given cover, too. You're part of an experiment. Yeah, I could see that conditioning being done. Then once you get them to do that, then they got them to do anything they want. Sure. Put them in part of a organ harvesting campaign.
He only told me a few times, but he was like, he's totally right from guilty being part of it. But he would just say, like, there's some old loving old lady, old man, and you're in there and, like, talking to him, and they've signed these forms, and then these guys come in and inject them and, like, literally have, like, orgasms while they're killing somebody. That's what he described.
Hmm. They enjoyed it.
That was human sacrifice. And that's at 14. Like you said, can you imagine, if he got off on it, what the next level would be? I think the bottom line is, Stuart, we need God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then this is all, you know, obviously from the... from Satan's program.
Well, my dad told me too, even recently, he said, listen, it's everywhere. So imagine what they've scaled up. How many of these people have they created? Like, this is an army of people that'll do anything.
With authority too. Got a white lab coat on, people trust them. They can convince them to do anything they want.
Well, look at Hotez.
What's that?
Hotez, Fauci's new guy. He's been around, but his new spokesman. I mean, can you imagine what these people do?
Yeah, Fauci should be on trial. I would start there.
Look at that son of a bitch. God. Oh my God. I mean, that is a demon. And he thinks she's better than you, folks. You think she's going to win? Look at that. I mean, that is a predator right there.
Who's that?
That's Fauci's main spokesperson.
Ah, the new guy, huh?
Peter Hotez. Hmm. Yeah, he was involved forever, but he's the new guy.
Hmm.
I mean, look at him. God almighty. Oh, he took to the program. He liked it. Those little sharp teeth. Look, not even his canines are sharp. The others are sharp.
It's like a killer gerbil.
And we bow down to him because what's he wearing, Stuart? A white lab coat.
Scepter of authority.
The scepter of authority. He'll face God.
Texas Children's Hospital, huh?
Oh, he's specialist children, yeah. God almighty.
So what's going to happen after this, with this exposure by Robert Kennedy Jr.? Do you think there'll be prosecutions?
You know, whatever happens, people have to stop trusting the system and realize that the whole medical system is an evil, but it's been, I'd say half of it, is people that will follow orders. And so you got a better chance of running around in traffic on a major interstate. You got a better chance smoking or injecting fentanyl than going into hospital.
Yeah, I stay out of hospitals.
Yeah. And I think the loss of faith in these people is the key.
Well, COVID helped with that. COVID showed at least half the country that our medical establishment is complicit in a massive cover-up of both the cause of the deaths and also, you know, the application of deaths. You know, attributing people that died from the flu or suddenly became COVID shot or COVID deaths.
Absolutely.
And then covering up the pharmaceutical industry, you know, preying on us.
You're going to be on the War Room at 4 p.m. What are you going to cover?
We'll talk about the flooding and talk about what we've seen down there. It's the same story down there. The first responders that show up for the first week or two do great work. It's both professional and also volunteers. But then the brass comes in later on with government contractors, and they get the big money coming in, and they want to make a lot of money out of it. It's an industry. So I'm not a big fan of the Red Cross. I've seen the Red Cross over the years break in billions of dollars.
The oldest intelligence agency.
And then they never do anything on the ground. We only see like one Red Cross truck and 14 hurricane operations actually out in the field doing something.
But they're getting all the money.
Right, they get all the money.
All right, Stuart Rhodes, we love you, brother. Owen Schroyer takes over now. Find the feed at Real Alex Jones, Infowars.com/show. Great job to the crew. Powerful transmission. So hospitals all over the country, according to HHS, are murdering people for their organs. We already knew it, but now it's official. The medical system, on average, is a weaponized system to murder you and your family.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900 and and folks really need to take action now. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.